Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before I introduce you to today's guest, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the people who make today's show possible, Markham Search, LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, and they offer services ranging from temporary staffing services, payroll services, traditional contingency search, to executive retained search. So please do keep them in mind for all of your potential staffing and executive needs. Today we have with us on the show Jeffrey Hazlett. Jeffrey is a primetime television host of C-Suite with Jeffrey Hazlett, and executive perspectives on C-Suite TV, as well as a business podcast host of All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett on C-Suite Radio. He is a global celebrity, speaker, best-selling author, and chairman and CEO of C-Suite Network, home of the world's most trusted network of C-Suite leaders. Hazlett is a well-traveled public speaker. Offline, we were talking about how well-traveled he is. I think he just landed from Atlanta today, and is the author of 4 best-selling books, Think Big, Act Bigger, The Rewards of Being Relentless, Running the Gauntlet, The Mirror Test, and The Hero Factor, How Great Leaders Transform Organizations and Create Winning Cultures, which we're going to be talking about today. Jeffrey is one of the most compelling figures in business today. As a leading business expert, he is frequently cited in Forbes, Success, Mashable, Marketing Week, Chief Executive, among many others, and he shares his executive insight and commentary on television networks such as Bloomberg, MSNBC, Fox Business, C-Suite, and many others. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jeffrey.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so why don't you get started maybe by telling our listeners, how is it that you became the C-Suite executive?
You know, I bought and sold over 250 companies in my career, about 25 billion in transactions. So it kind of leads you to different opportunities. You know, I'm a guy from South Dakota. That's how I got started. I'm from South Dakota, which is the population of that state. There's more people in the stands of the Indianapolis 500 than the day of the race than our entire state population. So, you know, I come from this very small rural state, although big land mass, but small in terms of population, and just started doing business there. And I finally figured out one day, whatever I was doing in South Dakota, I could do elsewhere and add more zeros. But it was the same kind of work, just more zeros. And that led me to, you know, buying and selling companies and working at various companies where I eventually worked up and became a, you know, Fortune 100 officer. And then led to, you know, hosting my own TV show on Bloomberg. And before that, I was, you know, a judge on Celebrity Apprentice for a number of seasons. And, you know, just doing different, you know, different opportunities that led to different things, which now lead me to where I'm at today.
Which is exactly where you're meant to be, arguably, right?
Exactly. You know, a lot of people like worry about where they're going to go or how they're going to get there. I just say, start going. You'll get there. You'll get somewhere, you know, you'll get somewhere. So start with that.
Yeah, I think that's such great advice for anybody tuning in out there. You know, thank you, of course, to all of our listeners tuning in today. And of course, the name of the show is Get Yourself the Job, but the show is really more than getting a job. It's about living your life's purpose, whether that be an entrepreneurship, whether that is having a traditional 9-to-5 job. It's about connecting to certainty that you are exactly where you're supposed to be, and not being afraid to get out there and fail and get dirty and learn to make mistakes, because in the failures, you're going to eventually lead to successes.
That's right. You know, a lot of people focus on, you know, in fact, a lot of interviewers will ask me, what's my biggest mistake or biggest failure? And I always tell them, I don't know, I haven't done it yet. Meaning, you know, there's going to be a bigger one out there. You know, and that's just the way I kind of live my life. And the same thing holds true with just, you know, failing or making mistakes. You know, a lot of people say today, you know, you should fail fast. I think that's kind of BS. You should really win fast. ultimately, that's what you want to do. You know, who wants to fail? You're going to fail. Let's just be clear. You're going to make mistakes. You can't be a maestro and not play a lot of bad notes, you know, and learning how to get there. So, you know, the same thing holds true with, you know, jobs or with positions in companies or running companies or owning companies. You are going to make mistakes. You're going to make a lot of them. But the key is to start winning as fast as you can. And the only way you win is by, you know, a little pain, little hiccups along the way. That's just the nature of it. Nobody wins 100%. They strike out a lot. They drop a lot of passes. They just, you know, they blow it. And that's just the nature of it.
I think that's a great point. And it's funny because I think we were talking about this on last week's show as well. I think that we get so quagmired by trying to focus on getting it right the first time or just getting it right in general that we don't realize the opportunity that our mistakes afford us to learn more innovative ways of doing it. And in fact, I was just listening to a show we had done about a month ago with Mike Abershoff, author of It's Your Ship. And he gave a great example of this young kid who said, why are we spending, you know, a few days out of every month repainting these Navy ships? And nobody had ever thought to ask that question. And because of that, now they came up with a whole new way to run things in the Navy because of that one question. There's nothing wrong with asking why and being open to hearing no or getting a failure, but learning to still move forward in the face of a no or a failure is important.
Well, and you had a very good person. Mike Abershoff is a friend of mine, and he's just
no kidding.
Absolutely, he is a stand-up guy.
In fact, I love him.
Yeah, he is a straightforward shooter. He's a great military leader, and this country is lucky enough to have him. It's interesting, Mike.
What
I've got
are the
Mike
odds
coming.
Of that? I had no idea.
Yeah, I've got Mike. Mike and I have shared the stage many times before. And I've actually got Mike coming to an event that I'm doing in April called Battleship Forum, which is a leadership forum. And I have two admirals, Mike Abershoff. I've got Carrie Lorenz, one of the first female Tomcat pilots to ever land on an aircraft carrier. And I've got Navy SEALs. I got Bob Pazzini. Bob is owner of iFly in Virginia Beach and also a former Special Forces Navy veteran. We've got some great, great leaders coming to this event. And by the way, it's interesting that Mike Abershoff is coming to speak. And I said, hey, I said, who you got? And I said, I've got Admiral so-and-so and Admiral so-and-so. And he said, oh, wow, they used to work for me. You know,
no
and so here's the guy that actually trained the admirals. I think this is awesome. So, yeah, you had a real winner on your show.
Oh, Mike is amazing. I had the privilege of hearing him speak in May at a partner retreat I was at. And it was a standing ovation. We were all wrapped. You go to these retreats with 300 people and people are busy eating food, twirling ice in their glass. And you could not hear a sound the entire time he was speaking because everything that came out of his mouth was just pearls of wisdom.
He's stand-up guy. Listen, if you're listening to us right now, go get Mike's book and read that book.
Get your book too. Both books. Get them side by side.
if you got to buy one, buy that one for sure. Yeah.
Wow. That's a testimonial. Please give Mike my regards when you talk to him and tell him we were promoting his book again on a later show. So that's funny.
Well, if you do that for people, though, you know, it's one of the things that I've always learned, especially, listen, you want to get a job. You know, you listen into us right now, go give, go do something, make like I just did. I mean, I don't have to do that, but here I am telling other people about what a great person. Go find ways to help other people by being a servant leader. It's going to open up things for you in ways you never saw before in your life. And I will guarantee the more you give, the more you'll get. So go out of your way to do the right kinds of things all the time and give that little extra. You know, I was with a group of business leaders on Friday in Atlanta, and I gave a keynote. And everybody in that room, I said, you're the kind of leader that I can tell already that, you know, when you're walking around your business and you see a piece of paper on the ground, you pick it up. Or you see that something's not right, you fix it, and you do it right there on the spot. You know, it's that little extra that you don't have to do that. You know, I have a whole chapter in my last book where I talk about how I clean bathrooms. So in the businesses where I own, I will actually from time to time go in and clean the bathrooms. And not because, you know, I just like a clean bathroom. That's one, you know, But two, it shows people that I'll do the jobs that you have to do. We have an office in South Dakota, as I mentioned, and, you know, I get there in the morning, I start shoveling the snow because it needs to be shoveled. Well, somebody else could do that. But, you know, when people see that I did that, I know that it got done, and I know it got done right, and they see me doing it. Don't complain when I come and ask you to do something else. If I can do that, if I can clean the bath, if I can scrub your toilet, you know, then by gosh, you should be able to do pretty much anything else I ask you to do.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, Jeffrey, because it was about a month ago, I was in Africa building my second school in Senegal. And what I love about the organization that I partner with, speaking of plugs, is called buildon.org. And what happens is you go to the village where you are going to build the school, and the villagers actively participate along with the people who are building the school from another country. And we partner together to build it. And the women in the village asked me in one of our talks, our cultural talks, they said, Jennifer, we don't understand. You already are like helping to fund the school. Why on earth are you carrying dirt in a pail on your head and helping to make cement? And I said, because I want to do this with you, and I would never expect you guys to do it if I wasn't willing to do it. And the women completely had a mindset shift, because in all the years that women had existed in this particular village, you know, 2 hours outside of Dakar, they didn't realize that they could be empowered, that they could pick up a shovel, that they could mix cement if they had to, and that they could also contribute to the other villagers in that way. And they said it was an eye-opening thing for them because they had never seen a woman do that before.
Yeah, it's, well, lead, you know, like Mike Ebershoff, lead from the front. You know, get down there and do what you got to do. And that's what real leaders do, is they lead from the front and they do what they do. You know, that's why old military commanders used to eat the same food that their troops were served. And they knew how far they could march. They knew how tired they would get. And that says a lot of things to be able to do it. You know, that's all doing the right things for the right reasons.
Yeah, I think that's so important, is that our intention is just as important as our attention. If we're doing it to make others look bad or feel bad, and I have to admit, I don't know about you, Jeffrey, but when I was in my infancy as a leader 10, 15 years ago, I was that person who was not doing it out of the purest of intent. I would go and work circles around my team, but I would do it from a place of making them wrong. And I apologize to any of you out there listening now or in the future if I was somebody who worked with you during that time, because it was demeaning, it was degrading, and by no extent was it empowering. And it took me a chance to have a mindset shift to realize that we're all going to do the best that we can in that day, in that moment, in that hour, in that minute. And when we let go of our judgments, okay, I'm willing to go shovel snow or pick up, you know, some dirt and deal with cement, and you're going to do what you have the capacity to do in that moment. Now, if I expect you to do that, though, and to do it exactly the way I did it, then we're going to set up an adversarial relationship, because I'm going to be disappointed in you. And I think that's an important defining factor of leadership, is doing the best you can and expecting your team to do the best they can, given that set of circumstances.
Amen. That's exactly right.
So tell us, Jeffrey, I mean, we're here to talk about your book. Obviously, Mike's book is great too, but let's talk about your book, The Hero Factor. Tell us what inspired you to write this book.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, I was approached by a gentleman by the name of Rob Ryan. And Rob was a CEO of a company. And back in 1998, he sold his company for $20.4 billion. And when he sold his company, he set aside a certain percentage of his company for all of his employees, making the single largest number of millionaires ever created in one day. That's never been surpassed. In fact, that tech transaction that occurred back in 1998 stood for 17 years. And the only one that was bigger was when Microsoft bought LinkedIn for $24 billion back in 2016, just a little over three years ago. And When this transaction occurred, all these employees would run up to Mr. Ryan or Rob and say, Mr. Ryan, you don't know me, but I'm the janitor and I can send my kids to college. You're my hero. Aww. Or they would, you know, run up and say to Mrs. Ryan, who was Terry, his wife, Terry was chief legal officer, and say, hey, Mrs. Ryan, you know, my mother-in-law has cancer and she doesn't have health insurance, but I'm going to pay for her operation. You know, you're my hero. Well, they didn't feel like heroes, but they decided they wanted to do something about it. So they went out and created a group called the Hero Club. And this Hero Club was a way for to teach other people to do what they do, to be servant leaders and to find ways to be able to scale their businesses and do it the way that Rob and Terry had done it into the, you know, billion-dollar company that was sold for, you know, $20 billion. So in doing so, they got it up to, you know, a couple dozen members, but then it can never get it bigger than that. And so they saw what we were doing with the C-Suite Network, and they came to us and said, hey, take this. And so I didn't know what it was, but he came up to me at a at an event and basically said, hey, give me a dollar. And I thought, well, what's a billionaire need a dollar for? I thought maybe he needed a soda or something like that. So I gave him a dollar, and he goes, you just bought the Hero Club. And that's when I said, hey, what the heck's the Hero Club? You know? So, and he told me the story and told me, I was like totally intrigued, blown away. But you know, how can we make this bigger than 26 members? And how can we make it more diverse? Cause at that time it was about, 25 members were all male and one woman CEO. And so I said, well, look, we got to do something different here. And so we started looking at it. And one of the things that we did was we put a pledge with it that says you have to operate your business in a certain way with values, because that's what we found out. We found out the real key thing for companies like Rob and others were they had great values. And by having great values and doing good things for the right kinds of reasons, it led to other things. To put people ahead of profits was a very, very important factor. And so I started studying these businesses and looking at them. And that's where I came up with the book, The Hero Factor. I found out that companies that have this, what I call hero factor, that have this way of saying, hey, as leaders, we don't want to be heroes, but we want to have a business that are full of heroes that do right things for the right reasons. And they're based on values. We found out by being value-based and operationally based combined, they had the hero factor, which means they grossed more money, they made more money, they had happier employees, they had customers who were more engaged, they had vendors who wanted to do business with them, you know, and when they walked through the community, everybody would point them out and say, that's a hero business. And that's what we started to find out. And so that's what intrigued me to write the book and to continue to lead this organization called the Hero Club, which is now into its hundreds of members and is part of our C-Suite network, which is our network of trusted executives. And, you know, we're the C-Suite network. We have 350,000 members. Well, we're working to get hundreds more members that are part of the Hero Club. So it's for entrepreneurial CEOs. And that's what we found out. They all have this very special hero factor of being able to really set their businesses apart, you know, in different ways. And that's, it's inspiring every single day.
I think that's so brilliant, because you ask, how can one person make a difference? And you look at these people, and I've met CEOs from every walk of life. You meet CEOs who, for whatever reason, they were born into a family where they had plenty of privilege and money, and they still go out in the world and they do amazing, great things. And I've also met CEOs who came from the mailroom and through dirt and grit and, you know, working their way up the chain, they know what it's like to have been there. And I really admire the CEOs who didn't not have to work for it. That's not the right words I want to use, but they didn't come up through the ranks in the same way, because it really takes a great level of EQ for somebody who might not have been in that position. I've met both types of leaders who are both dynamic and great. It all depends on their perspective and their EQ and how they approach their teams and the value side of it.
Yeah. And we focus more on the types of companies and the leadership as a whole, because it's not always just one person that leads it. It's an entire C-suite, you know, it's an entire community. It's a culture that leads it. And this is really about having a hero culture. You know, on page 12 of the book, I put together what I call the hero factor scale. On the one side, you have 0 to 10 operational excellence. On the bottom side, from zero down to 10 on the right, you have what I call hero intensity. So you got higher operational excellence on the left, upper left-hand corner, and then you have hero intensity, higher values on the, you know, lower right on this big scale. And then if you put the diagonal line through it, then you can start to say, okay, where does the hero company lie? Well, of course, the hero company lies in the upper right-hand quadrant, which got strong values, and it values people's, and it values good profits. But down to that lower right, you've got high values of companies. Companies have really high values, but they don't make any money. Okay. To me, those are struggling do-gooders, you know, which is that That doesn't help anyone. You're in need of operational help, but you really, you know, want to do the right thing. Well, that doesn't help you get your, you know, it doesn't help you build schools, right? If you're not making good money, you can't go build the schools you want to build and so forth. And the, on the upper left-hand corner, you got these bottom liners, which are strong operations, but they got no values. I mean, they got, you know, they're decent values, but they're doing values for value's sake. I mean, like, no offense to GE, no offense to Walmart, but, you know, they're great operationally. But, you know, we, outside of the reason they make contributions, the reason they get involved in the bike-a-thons, is because it's, you know, that it checks off the PR mark. You know, smack in the middle of all this, you've got these good companies. You know, they're good operational and a good hero intensity. That's where most companies are. Most companies are really, they're good companies. They're trying to make money and they're trying to do it for the right reasons. But then you start going to the left and down to that zero quadrant. And that's the wannabes. You know, the next level of kinds of businesses. These are the wannabes. They want to have good profits and they want to be good doers, but they have a little of both. And then you've got way down in the far left-hand corner, the zeros, what I call the zeros. the hopeless
zero heroes.
Yeah, the hopeless asshats, you know. And by the way, that's a word I can use without censored, because I'm known to get censored on my own shows. But, you know, these are the loser companies, the, you know, gravy sucking pig companies who take the money and run, who, you know, when the company's going to go belly up, take $11 million, you know, buyout package, you know, and then don't take care of the employees and don't take care of the local community, and then go get another house in Florida or wherever they might want. You know, those are the kinds of, that's the ones that get a lot of the attention of the media. And I'm here to start spreading the word that it's time for us to find other great role models that we can look to. And we find these hero companies, these companies that are doing things for the right reasons, because why? They can. And I think that's pretty cool.
So on the note of what you said earlier, Jeffrey, about how you'll go in and clean the bathrooms yourself. And I love this because it was something one of my teachers taught me years ago about having integrity. You know, when you do, integrity means wholeness. And so I look at that from a standpoint of, okay, you know, you said you're going to do it because you would never ask somebody to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. So how do you go into a company or create a company that holds its values and integrity? Because I think to your point earlier of the people, I forget which quadrant we're talking about, one of the lower quadrants, somebody who says on paper that we have these values. I think you gave examples such as Walmart or GE. When you say, okay, they have these values, but there's really no integrity in how they interact with the world at large, with how they treat their employees. How do you fix the disconnect? If you were going into Walmart right now and you said, listen, Walmart, you're telling me that you want to shift how you interact with your employees and you want to be part of this hero club, what would you do or what would you instruct them to do to help up-level that, to get to a place where their values actually mean something to the organization?
Well, first, everybody would have to state that they know them. You know, 58% of the people who work for the company don't even know what the vision of the company is, don't even know what the values are, not much less, you know, doing the right things. You have to be able to have stated values that everybody believes in, that everybody drinks the Kool-Aid on. And we're not talking about just a third of the people. We're talking about a majority of the people have to really walk the talk. And then eventually you have to get to as many as close to possible to 100%. But, you know, a third of the company and most companies today get what you're doing. A third eventually get it and a third never will. So key for most companies to build a culture over time, because it takes time to build a culture over time where everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid or drinking the champagne or on the wagon. You know, it's critical in order to be successful. The next thing is you got to live it. You have to live the values when it's tough to live the values. You know, when you can ship the product out because you know it's got a few mistakes, but you make the numbers, right? And there's companies that do that. You can't do that, or it's got a flaw, or it's not quite done right. You know, you got to be able to be willing to call the customer and say, I'm not sending this to you because it's not done perfect yet. And that's one of our values, is it's done perfect, you know, or it's done up to these levels of standards. That's when you have to be able to say no and then walk the values. And most companies can't do that. Most companies today can't. I wish they could, because if they did, they'd all be Hero Club members. right? So for us, that would be great. But really, it's about how great leaders transform organizations and create winning cultures. And, you know, and we find that it's not profit, you know, it's putting people over profit is when you combine people and profits, you become a real hero leader. And to be able to have that with your team so that they fully understand it and they're in it. Wow. That's a real winner. Do you think the people at Walmart, you know, are as enthusiastic as the CEO is for the company? Probably not, because they don't all walk the same kind of values. So that's what you have to have that uniformity of that. You have to have some real intensity around that. You have to have diversity of thought, diversity of people. You have to have inclusion. And those are some of the key things that people have to put forth in terms of the competency, sincerity, and then also so the relevancy of what are those key values that you want to put forth as a company.
So you just touched on an interesting point, Jeffrey, and I appreciate everything you just shared. And the point that you touched on was vision. And one of the other shows I was re-listening to from, I think it was back in May or June of this year or last year, was a show with Mark Perna, who's an expert on generations Y and Z. And he said the reason that a lot of employers are struggling right now to retain top talent from generations Y and Z is because they're not connecting to a vision. How does somebody create a vision, and how important do you think that is with the CEOs you've worked with when it comes to retaining talent of the future? Because it's been a huge ongoing thing of, I would imagine, the companies that are hero factor based or hero club based are going to have a higher retainability and an easier recruitment experience than the companies who don't. Because what I've heard said about the upcoming generations is that they really connect to leadership that upholds vision, has values, and that they feel like they're a part of a company that's doing something bigger than just profitability.
Yeah, I don't just think it's millennials and younger workers that want that. I think everybody wants that.
Okay? That was my question. That's actually a question I was going to ask, because I was wondering, is it just important to the younger generations, or is it equally as important to baby boomers and Generation X?
Yeah, it's the smart people versus dumb people. I mean, I don't mean that being derogatory, but you know, a lot of folks who were working in companies didn't know they had the choice. Now you know you got the choice. If you know you got the choice, you can work for companies that are going to be great companies that have vision. By the way, the vision means you can see something, right? First of all, if you don't have a vision for your company, how can you see where you're going? Period. End of story. Okay. So first of all, you've got to have a vision for that. If you can't articulate it, how are the people who work for you supposed to articulate it? And if they can't articulate it, they'll never get you where you want to go. So just to me, it's just insane to even think like that. But mostly, get back to the other thing, is I think I'm a baby boomer, and I'm a millennial in a baby boomer body. And I believe I want those same kinds of things. I mean, to me, those are important. I wouldn't want to do any of that without having a company that has great vision, or a company that where you have fun, or a company where you learn new things. Those are my conditions of satisfaction. I just want to make sure, and I think most people now are smart enough to realize they want mutual conditions of satisfaction. So they want to be able to have a company that they believe in the values, they see where it's going, and they value my contribution to get there. Who the heck wouldn't want any of that?
It sounds like you've just offered everybody their dream job. Just let us know the list of companies that are part of the Hero Club, and we can all start applying tomorrow. All kidding aside, is there a list of these companies that people can be applying to?
No, you know, we don't have that, but that's a great thing to do. Today we don't, but I would love to be able to put that together, because there are some great companies. When we come together as a Hero Club and we meet, it's amazing. Because every CEO that comes into that room says, I can't get over how much I feel at ease with everybody in the room. And they can take the armor off and, you know, at the door and check it at the door. And it's because they're all value-based. They all have certain ways of operating in terms of the business operational side of it, that they're just great people. And so you feel like you've known them forever. And therefore, you can have different kinds of conversations, and it's uplifting, inspiring, motivational to be able to have those kinds of things, you know, ongoing, with these kinds of CEOs that we do get together in the Hero Club. It's awesome.
Yeah, I would love that. Please do let me know. And I'd love to share it with our listeners if and when there's a heroclub.com list of companies for those of us out there who want to work for companies that have vision and values. And I think, you know, what would be really amazing, Jeffrey, I'm just thinking outside of the box as we speak. I wonder if there is a website or a way to pair companies based on values with individuals. Like, for example, if philanthropy was important or if innovation was important, if every company out there got a chance to choose five words that summed up their values that were in alignment with the company's vision. And then instead of worrying about resumes and do you have the right word or Adobe skills, what if we aligned values and vision to values and vision of the employees? That would be transformational.
Yeah, but you need more than just vision. So as part of it, you have to have operational excellence. You have to be able to deliver. So while sure, those things would be really great to have, and first, that's the first litmus test or the first test that you could have. Do they align with the same things that I want? Now we got to see whether you meet the bar, what is your relevancy for the company and how can you help it and make it better? And so what are your skill sets and how would you put that forth? And by the way, that's a great way of being able to make yourself more valuable to the company, by first studying the values, studying the way the company operates, studying the ins and outs of the company. And now here is my skill set. Here's what I have to deliver. Here's how I can make this company even better. And I can help deliver on the vision, the mission, the objectives of the company based on my contribution. That'll get you the job.
I think that's brilliant, Jeffrey. And one other thing I would offer to people, a CEO of an organization years ago had said he loves it when he gets asked in an interview, what are three words you would use to describe this company's culture? And so I think asking that, or what are three words to describe this company's values, would be a great question to ask in an interview to A, see if they're in alignment with your own, and B, see if anybody even knows what they are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, leaders today need to go beyond just offering free coffee and free meals, as you see a lot of high-tech companies that do that. You know, you have to go beyond that today of really saying, hey, this is where, because, look, it's a tight job market out there. And to be able to keep people at the level of competency and reliability and, as I said, relevancy that you want somebody at, it's important for you to go beyond that.
Brilliant. Well, Jeffrey, we could talk about this all day, but, you know, limited time on the show and such. So do tell our listeners, was there anything that I didn't get to ask you that's this burning thing that you would just love to share with our audience?
Well, you are very thorough, so I'm feeling pretty good about this. And you got me all riled up with that one question. So I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And you and Mike and I all have to get together on a stage somewhere one day. You guys are both two men I very much admire. So I love what you're doing with the Hero Factor and the Hero Club. And so actually on that note, Jeffrey, why don't you tell our listeners, where can they buy the Hero Factor if they want to find out more about C-Suite and about your podcast and your network? Where could they do that?
Well, you can, first of all, you can buy the book anywhere you buy a book. So it's available on Amazon and any bookstore and most of the airports. So you can always go find The Hero Factor. And that book is all about how great leaders transform organizations and create winning cultures. And I did it with my co-author, Jim Eaver. This is Jeffrey Hazlett, of course. And then to find the C-Suite, just look for all things C-Suite. You can find us at C-Suite Network, you know, C-Suite Network Advisors, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, C-Suite Book Club, C-Suite Academy. We're everywhere with C-Suite. That's what we do.
Brilliant. I love it. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show with me today, Jeffrey. And I invite everybody, of course, re-listen to this episode. There were so many great gems that Jeffrey shared with us today. And there's another interview that I did earlier this morning with Deepak Chopra and Don Hoffman, which is going to be airing on the other network I'm a part of called Awake TV Network. It will be free to tune into this week's show. It'll be on Wednesday at 8 a.m. at a special time, as this was a special episode that we did. So if you want to dive into leadership but look at it from a neuroscience and quantum physics standpoint, definitely tune into that episode on Awake TV Network with Deepak Chopra and Don Hoffman this Wednesday at 8 a.m. And Thursday at 7 a.m., I'm doing a special show with one of my greatest mentors and teachers, Arthur Joseph. Arthur Joseph is the author of many best-selling books, including Vocal Awareness. His programs are taught in colleges and universities around the world. And so Arthur and I are going to be talking about how can we use our voice as an instrument to better communicate our vision and our values. So that will be on Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Awake TV Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you to our sponsors at Markham Search. And if you missed any portion of today's show, I do invite you to check in. Go to iTunes under Get Yourself the Job. You can find the Mike Abershoff show from a couple of weeks ago, as well as the Mark Perna show I referenced. And this show will also be available later in the week for download. You can also immediately after the show find this episode and all of our prior episodes in the archive section of latalkradio.com on the Get Yourself the Job page. So feel free to check that out. And thank you so much to all of our listeners who tuned in today. And thank you again to Jeffrey for joining us and for all of your great wisdom.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.